Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your wonderful provision for your people in the days to come. We're seeing it, and we thank you and we praise you for it. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start on promises for provision. A wonderful revelation. We have many revelations on our site about this, how God has planned to provide for his saints in the coming wilderness tribulation. And I'm going to share just a few of these revelations with you today. This one is God's warehouse in the wilderness. Wonderful revelation. KH, 2008. In a dream, my mom, sister, nieces, and I were moving into this warehouse that seemed to be off on its own, in a way. And if you weren't looking for it, you would miss it. You need to start looking. Look at all them promises. Well, many do miss God's warehouse because they don't take his promises seriously and in faith. And it's off on its own because it is the wilderness place of our weakness that God's power is made perfect in. As we enter the warehouse, I was amazed at all the things that I saw in it. There were beds, couches, lamps, refrigerators, toys, food, water, etc. And I might add, I already know that this is there, and that is eyes to see, organs, limbs, all healthy things, right? Everything God's provided, not just the things of this world, right? It looked like there was anything and everything that we would ever need in there. The enormity reminded me of a store that I went to a few months ago called IKEA, IKEA. But it was larger than that and had so much more. In the warehouse, I also saw several more families. Some of the kids were playing. There was such joy and peace. There's one of your provisions right there that filled this large room. And we all were just so thankful that we would have all that we would ever need in that warehouse. Praise the Lord. That's heaven's warehouse. As my mom and I were talking about the dream, she immediately mentioned that God let me see his warehouse or storehouse for his saints. Praise God. Paul says in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He's very rich. And I have experienced God's supplying our need, but what a blessing to actually be able to see God's warehouse for those who live in his shelter. So this promise is something that the children of God will need to stand on in the coming tribulation. Be it unto you according to your faith, Jesus said. So I'm going to try to give you some faith today. The sum of his word is truth, and no matter what it may look like, the Lord will provide and bring us through. Praise Jesus and thank you, Father. That was the end of that revelation. And here's another one, obedience in provision. Anonymous. I had a vision of an average man. He was suddenly blessed with a very large abundance of money and a driven calling from God. There are many prophecies of the man-child being abundantly blessed to build the kingdom of God. And it's happening in these days. The man was then led to buy all these businesses and houses that were for sale, and he obtained almost a whole city. Many people represented by the houses, I would say, will be coming into the kingdom in spirit and in truth. And also, this has been fulfilled by the Lord since this 2023 revelation. In so doing, and led by God to change a country and giving hope and faith by his example in servitude, every one of the businesses and houses were for those in need, housing the poor and the faithful in Christ. Businesses were used for his glory according to the word and Christ, and gave spiritual truth and provision for all their needs to be met. Well, again, this has been fulfilled by the Lord since this 2023 revelation. And it'll all be seen very soon. So in return, all those he helped then participated with their gifting of their profession. And many helped in genuine love as one community for God, and it grew. The changes even convinced many non-believers not to change it back to what it had been before. So this is coming. And I felt this is our deepest desire, to have his kingdom be established here and now in the physical, and not for our own selves, but to fulfill the needs of others. Amen, amen. Here's another one. An abundance of provision for the bride. This was given to L.W. I had a dream where I was in what looked like a big warehouse with bank tellers. Well, the Father's gift of wealth coming to bank accounts through Nasara that will especially favor the bride. It is money the deep state stole from everyone for many years, but Donald Trump found. I went to get a statement for my account, and when the lady handed it to me, I noticed it had about $37 billion. She was expecting this, but had a critical and unforgiving spirit in this particular case, and I tried to gently warn her, but sadly she lost it all and went to her place. So in the dream, I remember thinking yesterday that I was thinking about how I wanted $1 billion. This is still her speaking here. But I hadn't asked God for this. In real life, I have no desire to be a billionaire. The number 37 in Bible numerics means Word of God. Well, those who have the Word manifested in them will have all their needs met. Some people have bits and pieces of the Word and they miss out, but they can learn from other people who have picked up the other bits and pieces, right? So in the dream, my goal was to keep the knowledge about how much money I had a secret and use it anonymously for good. I was planning on using it to build a personal house, a church building for UBM, and to get my husband a new truck, which he badly needed at that time, and to help others in need. And I remember thinking in the dream that I would just keep my current car. Amen. In dream number two, it was a sunny day, and my husband and I were looking into getting another house. We were looking at one that was multi-story and had two kitchens. UBM was there looking at it with us. And I thought that it would be a great place for pot blessings. So all the good that she previously had a desire to do is here. She went on to say, I remember specifically seeing Gabe and Michael and didn't think much about it, but later in real life, I think the Lord reminded me that two of his archangels are Michael and Gabriel, and his angels watch over the affairs of UBM. To render to all according to their works, I believe. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random about these dreams and got Romans 1 and 17. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. Yes, and the faithful righteous will be blessed very soon. And this one we call provision to preserve and build the kingdom. And this was given to Eve Brast. I had a couple of dreams involving a Monopoly game board. It's no coincidence that as I sat down to write this, an announcement on the radio said that on this day in history, November the 5th, 1935, Parker Brothers introduced the game of Monopoly to the public, which of course had to do with dealing with money, right? Dream number one. I was sitting in the dining room of our old house on Vanderbilt Road in Texas. Vanderbilt is representative of the wealthy elite. The Vanderbilts were once the wealthiest family in America. Cornelius Vanderbilt was the richest American until his death in 1877, and after that, his son William acquired his father's fortune and was the richest American until his death in 1885. The Vanderbilt's prominence lasted until the mid-20th century when the family's 10 great Fifth Avenue mansions were torn down and most other Vanderbilt houses were sold or turned into museums in what has been referred to as the Fall of the House of Vanderbilt, quote unquote. Wikipedia. So they lost it all, as many will do. But instead of a dining table, there was a green card table. The deep state house of cards is falling. That was her note. It was dark in the kitchen area, but there was a light shining down on the card table. Well, I would say Father is shining the light on the fact that many are gambling with their life. There was an empty Monopoly board game on the table where three men with slick back black hair were sitting around the Monopoly board with me. Black hair, I believe, here represents submission to darkness. The elite behind the deep state are playing the game of spiritual monopoly, and they are losing due to God at this particular time. R.S. was to my right with her hands folded over her forearms, observing the scene. The only thing each of us had been given was the usual amount of Monopoly money that each player receives. There were no houses, hotels, or game tokens to move around the board. Well, the value is not in the material possessions, but in the funny money itself, right? By her composure, we know that R.S. was resting in the flesh, for she fell away. Eve was just sitting there resting in the Lord, and all things are provided freely in our rest from self-works. The Monopoly money, thought to be worthless, kind of where we are now, right? represents the national currency of nations that have fallen to a very low value. Nasara will change this for the righteous. Suddenly, a pair of dice appeared above the board as if an invisible pair of hands was shaking them. And then the dice were cast onto the board, and they came up 3 and 4, equaling 7. Well, God rolls the dice, for he holds the future, right? And he and those who abide in him win the game. He has his own people at the table to receive the gift. The three men all declared 7 in a defeated and disgusted tone. Well, God has defeated the elite who planned to use this currency for their own new world order. Then they all got up from the table, took all their monopoly money, and stacked it in a large pile on top of my money. And then it all turned into real money as they left the game. Well, they don't know it, but they're going to let the old money count until the new money is distributed. So, and if you have the old money in the bank, it's going to be changed over to the new money. So the revelation of currencies to come up on a par with the dollar, which must lose some of its value to come into alignment. Hence, those with worthless currencies will find that they have become real money. And this is necessary to have a GCR, or global currency reset. We're all come to the same value. So in the short term, this will be used to build the kingdom, as in the temple of God, which is his people. That's how you build the kingdom in the New Testament, right? The elite had planned to take the Christians down, and then they would take all. But Trump, who, as Cyrus did, will contribute Babylon's vast hidden wealth towards the temple of God's people. Yes, it's going to be used in that way quite a bit. I then realized I'd won, even though I didn't know I'd been playing. Yep, that's what's going to happen. That's what's happening. None of us has been playing, but like this, it will be given to us by God's roll. R.S. then said, "Wow, Eve, you really made out." Eve could represent herself and also the corporate bride, I believe, since she's used that way in a lot of dreams. I was so amazed by this. And then I woke up and I looked at my phone, and the time was 3:33 a.m. I thought of Jeremiah 33:3 because I had asked Father to show me more about his plans and what he is doing currently. Well, Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things and difficult, which thou knowest not." Well, I said months ago, I wondered if the elite would be taken down so that they could not be involved in this revaluation, and that their currency's value would then be left to be divided to the people of God. Now I know it was a word of knowledge. So I asked Father for a word concerning the monopoly game and the black-haired men, who I believe represent the elite through the deep state, right? And my finger was on, "Shalt thou reign?" Question mark. In Jeremiah 22:15, in context, Jeremiah 22:12-17, "But in the place whither they have led him captive, there shall he die, and he shall see this land no more. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by injustice, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not his hire. This is basically what they've done. That saith, I will build me a wide house and spacious chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Thou shalt thou reign. Verse 15. So those who were sure that they would reign by collecting enormous profits from this revaluation have lost it. The people's monopoly money is now worth much more, for the till has the elites' and the wicked's money in it, and it will be divided as God sees fit. And she went on to say, because thou strivest to excel in cedar, did not thy father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and the needy, then it was well. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? But thine eyes and thy heart are not but for thy covetousness and for shedding innocent blood, and boy, that is the truth, and for oppression and for violence to do it. I then asked for a word for the men giving me all their money, and my finger was on Matthew 6 and 29. In context, 6:28-34. And why are ye anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Much more, O ye of little faith. Well, when I pasted this text into this article, somehow I accidentally turned the background red. I didn't know how it happened, but this underlined part was white, and I know of no way that this could naturally happen. And my accident was not an accident. So believe God to supply for you in the coming wilderness as he did for Israel. So this part that's underlined here, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Yeah, there it was. Verse 31. Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think I have proven this in my life to be absolutely true. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Also this verse came to mind, Proverbs 13 and 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. Okay, our dream number two here. I went back to sleep, and again I was sitting in front of the Monopoly board, alone this time. I was looking at a small stack of money between the game board and me. In the dream, I knew that it was $42. And I was thinking, it will not be enough. I'm going to fall short, quote unquote. Everyone wanted the revaluation to happen too early. If it had, it would have been swallowed up by the criminals. Then Donald Trump merged with David and came in through the door near the dining room that led out to the garage. And when I say they were merged, it was like their two images flickered back and forth between Donald Trump in a dark suit while and white t-shirt, a white shirt, excuse me, and a red tie, and David in a white polo shirt and light blue jeans. Well, this merger has been seen for a while, especially in Eve's dreams. This represents the David Manchild reformers working to bring about the kingdom on a Christian level, while Trump, as Cyrus, works to bring about the kingdom on a national level. And I will add that the Davids will help the Trump. Mm-hmm. So I heard their voices in unison say, 42, 43, 44, 45. As they added three more dollars to the 42 that I had. Bill Clinton was the 42nd president. Bush Jr., the 43rd, Obama, the 44th, and Trump, the 45th. Okay. And currently, the 47th, notice the criminals and did not further the process of GCR during their terms because then Christians would benefit having been told by the Lord to invest in this. And as a ministry, we have not, but others have for us. Obama, Hillary, Biden's job was to finish off the Christians with their invasion and cheating on the vote, and then came God's 45th and 47th president to prepare us with the tribulation provision. There is a lot of revelation concerning 45, which represents preservation. The Isaiah 45 Trump-Cyrus / Manchild parallel to rebuild the kingdom, etc. So Isaiah 44, 28 through 45, 3 and 13. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. And 45 and 1, there's at 45 again. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open the doors before him, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the rough places smooth. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. And God did that for Cyrus, for sure. And hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that it is I, Jehovah, who call thee by thy name, even the God of Israel. And 13 goes on to say, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all of his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, saith Jehovah of hosts. I was relieved because this was exactly the amount I needed. The $3 they laid down were much larger than normal, like the size of business envelopes. And I believe that Trump has bought us more years, represented by the three large dollar bills, before the tribulation begins, and then I woke up. I asked Father for a word concerning the $3 more, and my finger was on heir of righteousness, quote unquote. In the concordance, under Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, though through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Well, arks are expensive and laborious, as we learned when many went to see this huge replica, the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. Matthew 24:37-39. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So, she goes on to say, what $42 could also represent? The meaning of the number 42 in the Bible. 42 is a number with a direct connection to the coming Antichrist kingdom. His evil efforts will last 42 months in the end time, and thus 42 is firmly associated with him. This 42nd presidency brought an end to three generations of Antichrist leadership, but we are being preserved by the 45th and the 47th. That was my thought. And in God's view, Trump skipped a year because he is needed now. I knew that. I got that revelation that skipped year he thought was so totally unjust, which it was, but it was so that he would be here now. Yes. On October 14, 2018, Melissa Pollack wrote, David, I thought I would look online and see if there is anything about President, or she uses press, period, Trump, having dreams and needing interpretation. So I looked for a little, but not really hard. The Lord got my attention when I was online that Trump is the 45th president. And I was thinking about how the Lord is using him as a type of Cyrus. And then all of a sudden, the Lord brought to mind that Isaiah 45 is the first chapter which talks about Cyrus. So I went and looked, and actually, verse 28, the last verse of the chapter 44, is the first place Isaiah starts talking about Cyrus. Chapter 45 is the only chapter in Isaiah that starts at the beginning talking about Cyrus. And then I thought about the fact that 45 means preservation. The Lord also got my attention with how I wrote all of this info down. Prez, or P-R-E-S, period, is short for president and preservation. Both begin with the same letters. The Lord is using Prez, Trump, as a type of Cyrus to preserve the U.S. and the world by taking down the deep state. That's so that we have a relative time of peace for the sake of bringing his people out of apostasy so that they will follow the man-child into the wilderness, like David has been teaching us. There are only three verses that use the number 45 in the Bible. Genesis 18 and 28, peradventure, there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 45. 45 preserved. Okay. Joshua 14 and 10. And now, behold, Jehovah hath kept me alive as he spake these 45 years from the time that Jehovah spake this word unto Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 45 preserved, right? 1 Kings 7 and 3, in context 1 through 3. And Solomon was building his own house 13 years, and he finished all his house. For he built the house of the forest of Lebanon. The length thereof was 100 cubits, and the breadth thereof 50 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits, and upon 4 rows of cedar pillars, with cedar beams upon the pillars. And it was covered with cedar above over the 45 beams. There it is again. That were upon the pillars. 15 in a row. Cedar wood is, of course, bug resistant and used to store things in order to preserve them from being eaten up by the bugs, which represent the curse, right? So his house was preserved and supported by 45 beams. So here's a revelation, a huge box of gold coins given to David. And this was my revelation back on 2016. I had a vision in the night, and I saw myself in a huge warehouse. There it is again. I had been sent by my boss to move a large box that I saw in the spirit to our part of the warehouse. When I got there, I still saw the box in the spirit, and I saw the industrial-sized forklift that I was to use to pick it up. I would judge that the box to be about 8 foot square and very strong. It was full of dollar-sized gold coins. And I looked at the forklift and wondered if it was big enough to pick the box up. And I found the manager of the warehouse, and I told him what I was told to do. And he said, I was told by my boss not even to speak nominally, meaning in name only, of that box. Then I told him, do you want me to go back to my boss, or do you want to speak to yours? I knew my boss, Father, was over his boss, Satan. And that was the end of the vision. He can't keep it. So I believe that the Lord is saying that we are soon to receive access to the money to serve his saints in the refuge. And this one we call UBM, Refuge from the Storm. And that was yours truly, David Eels, in 2007. In a vivid dream, an elderly white-haired man sat at his desk looking at some papers. And he was also watching me with an expression of pleasant approval as I lay on a couch next to him. I also was looking at some papers. It was revealed to me that he was leaving me with $1 billion, which to me at that time was just, whoa, $1 billion. What can I do with $1 billion, Lord? But it just represented to me a lot of money. Okay, not that it would be exactly $1 billion. Later, I was told it would literally be infinitely more than that, and it would be to take care of his people, his house, his property, and the man-child families. There were household servants who looked on. Well, the elderly white-haired man, you probably guessed, represents our Heavenly Father, who will provide unleavened bread ministries with everything necessary to care for that portion of his house and property that he has left us to care for. The house represents his holy people, and his property represents those who are under the blood and in the process of becoming holy. And I represent UBM, which is a body of saints committed to preparing the elect to walk in the steps of Jesus. The papers we were looking at represent the biblical legal contract between the Father and us that guarantees all these things and more. The servants are the angels who serve his people to bring this to pass. I was lying down in a restful position, signifying that it would not be by the works of UBM, but as we rest from our own works, the grace of God will bring it to pass. Afterward, I saw myself walking through the house and looking out a front window. I saw that a storm was raging and that the properties outside the boundaries of our property were being devastated. In other words, we were a refuge. Trees were being blown away and the landscape was becoming desolate. I would say this probably represents a wilderness, right? So, looking out the front window is to look into the future of what is before the house. The raging storm is tribulation to come, and the world outside the property will be devastated to prepare a wilderness that will motivate God's people to flee to the kingdom of God through repentance and faith. And this is abiding in Christ, the secret place of the Most High. Yes. So in the Bible, people are likened to trees. So the trees blown away represent people's lives being destroyed who do not abide in the shelter of Christ. Yes, we've seen some of that too. And next I saw that inside the boundary of the property were all kinds of animals. I knew that the $1 billion was given to shelter and take care of these. Well, after the dream, I thought how much this seemed like the beasts who fled to Noah's Ark for safety from the storm to come. And Solomon taught that men are as beasts, Ecclesiastes 3:18. I said in my heart, it is because of the sons of men that God may prove them, that they may see that they themselves are but as beasts. Yeah, when people get that revelation, they know what they're fighting against, that old flesh, right? For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, and man hath no preeminence above the beasts, for all is vanity. So think about that, because people have told you a lie. Okay, a lost man, he's like the beast. I have shared in our teachings that the different peculiarity of these animals represents the different strengths and weaknesses of men. The different species can also be seen as different unclean sects, divisions, or denominations. Peter was being prepared by a trance vision to accept into the kingdom those men he considered to be unclean beasts. Acts 10:11, and he beholdeth the heaven open and a certain vessel descending, as it were, a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And a voice came unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done thrice, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. So immediately after this vision, Peter was invited to the house of Cornelius, and he perceived that God had revealed to him that he had cleansed the lost, unclean Gentiles through the sacrifice of Jesus. Acts 10 and 28. And he said unto them, Ye yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation, and yet unto me hath God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean. And verse 34, And Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. At this point Peter preached the gospel to all who were in Cornelius' house, and they were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Many unclean beast people will be fleeing the judgments of the world and apostate Christianity and coming into the shelter of the kingdom through our ministry. And these were sanctified of their beastly character by the sacrifice of Jesus, and we will have to deal with these peculiarities by faith and the Word. And some of them will ultimately not be saved, for they will not continue in the faith and endure to the end to be delivered of their beastly appetites. Next, I saw, as I looked out of the front window, a rhinoceros charging towards the window. At the last minute, it veered off and went down the left side of the house. I turned and ran to the back of the house and looked out the back window to see lions and a rhino calf peacefully in the backyard together with other animals, and I supposed that the rhinoceros was thinking of protecting its own, but there was no threat. They were all at peace. Well, notice that the animals are at peace, like they must have been in Peter's sheet and Noah's ark. This symbolizes the one flock with the one shepherd that Jesus said would come. You know, Matthew 5 and 9, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And in Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, the branch is Jesus in the man-child ministry, as in Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6. Then it also speaks of animals being at peace and protected and led by the man-child. Isaiah 11, 6. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That's the man-child. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, which is the kingdom of God. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the rest of the chapter speaks of gathering God's people to their spiritual land of promise, which is the Word of God, right? And bringing peace between them while conquering the old man in the land, the beast, right? Chapter 12 speaks of them drinking freely of God's salvation, and chapter 13 is the day of the Lord and the fall of America as we know it. So here the shepherds and their flocks are gone, but the wild beasts, especially goats, which represent the wicked and the apostates, and the wolves, which represent apostate false leaders, are left to cry in their castles, that's their churches. And 13 and 19 says, and Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans, that's Babylon, in religion and politics, the Chaldeans, pride, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And verse 20 goes on, neither shall shepherds make their flocks to lie down there. In other words, no more going back to Babylon. Babylon religion, you know. Mystery religion of Babylon, of Revelation, right? But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. That's true. They're religious people, but they're not saved. They're wild beasts. And their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and ostriches shall dwell there, and wild goats shall dance there, and wolves shall cry in their castles, their churches, jackals in the pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. So, looking out the front window in this dream represents seeing into the future. And the left side, where the rhinoceros went, represents where the goats walk. And just as it is now, some self-righteous, competitive, ambitious, sectarian, factious, domineering types will seek to separate those of their own kind and their own thinking from the body, when in reality they are in the safest place to be. This also may be speaking of a larger future scenario that involves the New World Order, religion seeking to separate those who may be proven to belong to them from those at peace with God and each other. They will not be ashamed to use the weapon at their disposal to gore those who have been given authority. The rhinoceros first aimed at me and then at those who agreed with me. Some, like Judas, will go to the place ordained for them because of their selfish ambition and because they abuse their freedom in Christ. Galatians 5 and 10 says, I have confidence to you, word, in the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. For you, brethren, were called for freedom, only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the animals work together at peace, right? But if you bite and devour one another, as wild beasts normally do, take heed that you be not consumed one of another, as the wild beasts normally do, right? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wrath, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, here we call this one Refuge Presence of God. This is BR. Okay, I was reading in 2 Samuel, and this scripture impressed me. 2 Samuel 6 and 14. And David danced before Jehovah with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of Jehovah with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Well, let me say that when the David Man-Child ministries are anointed as the new leadership of God's people, the presence of God will be in them and in their midst for the first time since the Saul ministries began. 1 Chronicles 12 and 38 says, all these being men of war that could order the battle array came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. 13 and 2. And David said unto all the assembly of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and if it be of Jehovah our God, let us send abroad everywhere unto our brethren that are left in all the land of Israel, with whom the priests and the Levites are in their cities that have suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we sought not unto it in the days of Saul. Well, of course, the ark of the God of his presence was going to be in their midst once again and ruling over them. Then last night I had a refuge dream, and only the following came to mind. We were in a covered pavilion with picnic tables. David, representing here the David Man-Child ministries to come, and I had arrived, and there was a group of people expecting us. A middle-aged woman came up to us and told us that the pretzels in the stacked white boxes of different sizes on the picnic tables were for us to eat. Well, my thought was this represents partaking of the joyous rewards of the unleavened bread of the Word, the crucified life of the heart and prayer, and all of this in a clean white garment representing faith and the works of the Spirit, which I will share below. David was walking behind me, singing in tongues. He was in a very joyous mood. I believe this is when the anointing of the latter rain comes, bringing the anointed presence of God here, like the temple, right? The tabernacle. So, what do pretzels represent? Well, the origins of the pretzel go back to a frugal monastery in the mountains between southern France and northern Italy in 610 AD. The monks created the first soft pretzels. They didn't want to waste the dough left over from making unleavened communion bread. In other words, partaking of the pure word, right? Christians in those days prayed with their arms crossed over their chest. The crucified life of the heart, I believe this represents, right? With each hand on the opposite shoulder. The monks realized that the dough could be twisted into a similar shape. The treats were given to village children as a reward to children for memorizing their prayers. The monks called their treats praetiola, a Latin word that means little rewards. Partaking of the joyous rewards of the unleavened bread of the word and prayer, I would say it represents. So we call this one Provision for the Bride, Terry McGinley. And Deborah had some notes in green in here. I had a dream where I was observing these young men representing the man-child body of First Fruits Reformers. They were between the ages of 18 and 23 or so. 18 is the numerical value of the Hebrew word chai, which means life. And it is a Jewish custom to give monetary gifts in increments of 18, thus symbolically blessing the recipient of the gift with a good long life. The number 23 in the Bible symbolizes death. The man-child body of Reformer is the first to come to their spiritual death of self so that they can bring salvation, provision, and life through the gospel of Christ to all of God's elect. So during their first 3.5 years of ministry in the tribulation is when this will happen. They were camping and someone there told them of a lady who was in need and asked if they could help out. And here's Deb's note here. Camping represents that the man-child reformers are in their own personal wilderness. And my thought was the lady in need is the modern day church, which has been impoverished by apostasy and division over these last 2,000 plus years and is in desperate need of the real Jesus and the real gospel. One young man said, "Wait just a minute." And Deb put a note here. The young man represents Jesus, who has already given us everything. Amen. He had a stack of birthday cards. Well, she said birthday cards represent invitations to be born into the kingdom. He looked through them and found a blank check and a $100 bill. He took them out of the cards and gave them to the lady in need. Well, the man-child, Deb said, will show the woman how to receive the $100 bill representing 100-fold fruit and the blank check represent carte blanche. In other words, whatever is needed, and no stipulations and no limits. Right? So, what came to me was Esther 2 and 13. Then in this wise came the maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. Well, he left the check blank, and I was really surprised, thinking that he'd give maybe $5 or $10, especially since he didn't seem to have much and was so young. Well, that was the whole dream. Well, Jesus didn't have much during his earthly life, according to the world standards, but he gave all of his life so that we could have life abundant. A blank check reminds me of Mark 11 and 24. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you shall pray and ask for, believe that you received, it's past tense, by the way, them, and you shall have them. We received it at the cross, right? Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Lord, for this encouragement. We praise you and we thank you. And we know that you're going to provide everything in the wilderness. You were the one who gave out the $100 bill and so on and so forth. So thank you, Father. 100% has been given unto us. All we got to do is claim it. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.